will grant that privilege to us this morning. Let the musicians go ahead and go to their seats. Amen. Let's go ahead and open our Bibles. St. John chapter 17. Welcome to the house of the Lord. It's good to see each one of you. Yeah, they have that phrase, birds of a feather flock together. And, you know, I figure the birds, they flock together because they enjoy being around one another. You know, because they like the same food. They like the same places to go and same habitat. And they enjoy fellowship with each other. And there's just something they draw from one another for being around each other. So I just think that that's a good description of us. So that's what we want to do this morning. We want to flock together this morning as great eagles. St. John chapter 17, we'll begin reading at verse 9. And this is a prayer. Jesus is praying. And he is praying for his disciples. Okay? For the 12 apostles. And he says, I pray for them. Now, before we go, I want to say something. I heard Brother Claude Weissner saying this, that they had a person going to their church for quite some time. And then until they read the quote where Brother Brim said, I don't even pray for America anymore. He said, how can I when they won't repent under the mighty hand of God? And that person never come back anymore because that offended them. Yeah. You know, Jesus said the time would come when many would be offended. They'd be offended in the gospel. So this person decided they didn't think that was right and they just left. And so anyway, I just want to kind of point that out as we read this scripture. Jesus said, I pray for the disciples. I pray not for the world. But I pray for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and all thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. And let's go to the verse 20 through 22, same chapter. St. John chapter 17, verse 20. Now Jesus has said, I pray for the disciples. Now watch what he says. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them which shall believe on me through their word. Did you know Jesus prayed for me, and Jesus prayed for you?
Amen.
Right? Because he said, I'm going to pray not just for my disciples, but I'm going to pray, I'm praying, Father, for those who will believe the gospel through their word that they preach and teach and is written down here in the scriptures, what eventually became scriptures. That they, now this includes us, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou givest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. And let's bow our hearts to him. Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, Lord, we are so thankful for this time, for this opportunity, and for your spirit, your presence here and near, Lord, to bless our hearts with your word. Lord, we often think what it would be like had you not, if we didn't have you, had you hadn't called us, Lord. But we're so thankful this morning that you have called us. You've called us aside, away from the things of the world, that we might be partakers of your holiness. Lord, as we just read that your glory that was given you from the Father, it would come down and now be within us. We ask, God, today that you would quicken our understanding, or just let us all drop into the channel of inspiration to what we will say this morning, Lord, that it would just make perfect sense, Lord, to your people and give us the strength that we need for the days ahead. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. And may love the Lord.
Amen.
Be good to us. I'm going to title that this morning. I'm going to title this, Come Out of Her, My People. And, of course, you know what scripture I'm going to read here in just a little bit by saying that. But, you know, there is a move in the land to bring a unity among all churches.
Sure.
You know, we've shown this here in the past, you know, where we had the video of Kenneth Copeland and the different things that are going on there. And,
right.
I thought it was ironic and kind of interesting that back when I was in Pentecost, I never heard anybody. Pentecost, I went to Baptist churches from time to time. I never heard anybody in all those groups ever talk about there being stages of justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. They never talked about that. They didn't talk about Luther and Wesley and Pentecost. They didn't talk about the Lutheran movement and the Methodists under Wesley. They didn't talk about that. But when we come to the message, we realize that Brother Branham was very pertinent in his message, because God was going to turn us around and show us the things that had been and the things that are and the things that will be. And so, but I find it interesting that whenever that fella stood up, Tony Palmer stood up in that minister's conference there with Kenneth Copeland, and he talked about he was coming in the power and in the spirit of Elijah to that meeting to bring everybody back together again. And he talked about how that the Lutheran Church had signed an agreement with the Catholic Church. How many remember seeing that?
Right.
Okay. He talked about the Lutherans had done it. He talked about the mainstream Methodists. They had signed it.
Yeah.
But he said, but now Pentecost, the mainstream evangelicals, what they call it, said they hadn't done it yet.
Yeah.
Well, we know since that time that they went there and they've done it, okay? Mm-hmm. But my point is that, you know, Satan knows. He knows the gospel. He knows what's going on. And he knows there was a Luther and a Wesley and a Pentecost. He knows that, regardless of what the rest of the church world wants to say or not say. He knows that. And so here's a representative of the Catholic Church, and they know that they've accomplished something whenever they got the Lutherans to do it and the Wesleyans to do it, and now they're seeking to get the Pentecostals, and which they've successfully done now,
yep.
Right? And so I thought it was really interesting that, you know, that... the rest of the world don't understand anything, but the Catholic Church knows,
yeah.
Because, you know, where they get their inspiration from. But there is a move to bring all the churches together. And I had a friend of mine, I've not seen him in many, many years, but I used to work with him. And he told me one time, I was witnessing to him quite often. I'd talk to him just about every day. Every time I was working on his machine, I'd tell him about the message, and I'd tell him about the things that God had done in our day. And he seemed to be fairly inspired by it. But, you know, he told me one day, he said, you know, he said, when all the churches come together and agree, and when they all come together and quit fighting, then I'll think about coming to church. Now, saints, you know as well as I do, that's a cop-out.
Right.
Because if that guy had a hunger for God in his heart, he would seek God no matter what was going on.
That's right.
Right? So that was just a cop-out. But it sounds good. You know, I said, well, that makes sense. Well, if they all come together and speak the same thing, well, then everybody could get on board with that. Mm-hmm. Sounds really good. But it'll never work for a true believer.
That's right.
And today we're going to talk about why it won't work. It'll never work for the believer. Now, I'm saying that because we know that they're going to come to unity. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to read a quote here in a minute. But, and their unity is going to be on the basis of something. But it won't be on the basis of what you and I come to unity with, right? And so we're going to talk about that just for a little bit. There was a sermon Brother Branham preached called What Shall I Do With This Jesus? Of course, he's talking about them crucifying him. And he talks about how that the next thing to happen, and this was in his day, and this was in 1963, you know, he's saying the next thing to happen, he had just given the seals, right? They had just been given, and now he's preaching this, and he says the next thing is for them to do is to crucify him.
Yeah.
Crucify the vindicated word who was promised to come and manifest in our day and has come and manifest. And the next thing for the world churches to do was be to crucify it again.
Yeah.
And so that's exactly what they've done.
Yeah.
So he's talking about that. And in there he says, you know, that's what they're going to do. And he said, you know, that's what they did at Nicaea, the first organized church system out there. Because God didn't organize a church. You're born into the church. You don't join it. You're born by birth of the Holy Ghost into his church. But the first organized religion that ever happened out there was the Catholic Church. And they did it at Nicaea, Rome. And they walked away from the word in order to unite in their system. And of course, that became the mother of harlots. That became the great whore of Revelation chapter 17. And who had daughters, which was called harlots. So, harlots they're the same as their mother because they're not true to their husband. They're not true to one man.
Yeah.
They receive doctrines and seeds from all kinds of directions, see? And so he talks about that, and he said they were the first organized religion. He said then after Luther died, because that was a genuine move of God, but after they died, what did they do? They denominated the Lutherans, made a Lutheran organization.
Yeah.
And now people can be part of a Lutheran organization just by joining it and not having the same experience Luther had. Right? Where was God just actually dropped in his heart by the Holy Ghost and quickened him to the word of the hour. And that was a true move of God. And then they denominated and made it some system of man. So now a man could sign up to the same doctrines of what Luther got, but he didn't get it by the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Right? And so he said, what did they do? They did the same thing they did at Nicaea. That makes them a daughter.
Yeah.
Right? Then he talked about Wesley. They come along and did the same thing. A mighty move of God in that man to bring sanctification. Then they formed a system out of it that has man's rulership in it. And people can join that and be part of that and associated with that, not having the true experience of the Holy Ghost giving it to them.
Yeah.
And he said they denominated, did the same thing. We know the Pentecostals did the same. So he's leading up to that. And he says in this sermon, what shall I do with Jesus? The organization or the organizing of the church has got the same system together today. The only thing they need is the dynamics of it. Just something to set it in force, and it's coming to a showdown right away. So he's saying that just let that dynamics drop into this system and it'll come to a showdown between them and the bride of Christ. That's what he's telling us. And it'll become a showdown right away. The Catholic Church and the Protestant Church will become friends. I've told you that for 30-something years. They will unite together, and you see exactly what they're doing now. So that was actually working in his day. Mm-hmm. Vatican II, is that what they call it? Vatican II meeting or whatever? I don't think that's the exact name, but anyway, it may be. And so that was going on in his day. And he said, the Protestants will never become Catholic, but they'll be an associated brotherhood, a mark of the beast likened to the first beast. And so, and that may shock some people to say that, but that is the mark of the beast. The mark of, what was the mark to show you that Satan had been in the Garden of Eden? Unbelief.
Right.
When Satan gets to people, that causes unbelief in them, and they get to where they can't believe the word, they're marked, because that's, the word is what makes the difference. That's how we get there in God's program, is to believe his word. So there is a move in the land to do that. Now, we read in scriptures there in St. John chapter 17 that Jesus talked about in praying. He said, Father, you know, I want them to be one as we are one.
Right.
And a lot of people, they'll go to this movement out there in the land, they'll go to this and they'll say, well, Jesus said we all need to be one. He wants us all to be one. That sounds good, and it's true. He'd like for us all to be one. But the scriptures also let us know that you can't be unequally yoked together. You know, you shouldn't yoke up with something that's different. And you can't really be. Birds of a feather, of a different feather, can't really flock together. Those problems arise from it.
Yeah.
And so Jesus says, you know, Father, you know, I want them to be one as we are one. And that's what the church world, you know, that's what this big ecumenical system is working off. They're springboarding off of this. To say that, well, we all have to become one. And so, but I'm going to ask you a question. Was there any place in Jesus' life where he was not one with the Father? He was totally in agreement with the Father. Now remember, he was the Word, right? So the Father God had thoughts.
Yeah.
And he put those thoughts into Word, and that Word went out and was exactly what the Father intended in the first place by thought, right? And so, and he went forth from the Father. That's a son comes forth from his Father. So Jesus coming forth as a man, that was the Son of God, and a manifestation of the Son of God. But it was actually the attribute of God himself in that form.
Yeah.
And he came forth as the Son of God. Read St. John chapter 1, if you want to know. He came forth like that. And so that word, any man who thinks one thing and then says something different, you can't put much trust in that man. But you realize God, when he put his word out there, is exactly what he thought. And he stays with his word. And his word is anointed to go and do what he said. And so Jesus is standing here and he's saying, Father, I want them to be one as we're one.
Right.
So the oneness of God is in total unity with the Father, which is total unity with the Son. So much so that if you have the Son, you have the Father, right? Jesus said so.
Yeah.
But if you don't have the Son, you don't have the Father, right? So we know that. And so when they say to be one, well, that's true. But they'll never come to the place where they're one like Jesus and his Father were one, right?
Yeah.
Because in order to do that, you have to be one around the Word. Yeah. One around the thought and the thinking and the desires of God. How many believe that Jesus was the real thing? I don't like using worldly phrases, but they say he was the real deal.
Yeah.
But he was the real thing. In other words, you know, there wasn't anything wrong with him. And yet we find that he had strong division between him and the organized religious leaders of his day.
Right.
Had so much of a division between him that's why they crucified him. Because they had a religious system and they claimed to be God's people and they were the most holy people in the world at the time, and it was the most holy place in the world,
right?
Where they crucified him. You remember how Brother Brown talked about there they crucified him, there they at the most holy place, right?
Yep.
They, the most holy people, crucified the most horrible death, him, the most glorious and wonderful person there ever was.
Yep.
Right, there they crucified him. And so we know that there is a oneness that God wants us to have, but it's going to be around the Word. And Jesus was the real thing. He was the real Word. And yet he had a division between him and those religious leaders. Though no matter how religious they were, right? They were religious. Cain was religious. He offered unto God. But so they were religious, but they crucified the very God they claimed to serve. Their religious system had drifted off so far, so bad, that they didn't even recognize him when he came. And these guys, remember how they knew the scrolls, they knew the Old Testament so much, they could shove a needle through that rolled up scroll and could tell you everywhere that needle passed through there, what word it went through. They knew it so well the way they studied it.
Yeah.
That's how, and that's possible. People are that good, you know, when they dedicate themselves to it. But they knew the Word so much, but yet their system had blinded them, and they missed him when they come. And so he was the real thing, though. And so my point is saying this, is knowing that Jesus was the real thing, the real move of God, and there was nothing wrong with him, and yet there was this huge system there that had power to crucify him, only because it was given to them by permission from heaven. But he had a division between him and them. And so there must have been a legitimate reason for him to stand there against them.
Yeah.
And this is what I want to focus on. There's got to be a reason why Jesus did not want to join up with that bunch of religious leaders. Mm-hmm. And I want to tell you that's the same thing today, because before it's over with, this move is going to, they're going to bring this forth under the message of love. And they're going to bring a unity, and it's a false unity. It's not a unity around the Word, but it'll be a unity under love.
Yeah.
They'll use that as the, and my point is that they're going to, in the natural, they're going to make everybody else who won't agree with that look like they're the bad guy.
Right.
Okay, so this, we can expect this pressure to come upon us at some point. It's already that way now, for people to say, well, you know, you don't want to be part of this uniting, of this peace process that we have. Can you imagine what, with all the stuff going on right now, the way it is with the Muslims and all the martyrdom and all the stuff that's going on, could you imagine what it would be that if there was a man that could rise up in this earth right now and he could calm all that?
Mm-hmm.
He'd be heralded as a Messiah,
yeah.
Wouldn't he? There's one man that could rise up and say, no more. If he could rise up and present something common, something that we could all come together and say, I can agree with that, and I'll lay down all my differences with everybody else, and I'll come together in agreement under this. And that's what they're going to do. But this is not going to be the Word. It's not going to be the Word of God. Right? So they're going to come together, and that's exactly what should happen. You'll have some Superman they'll have raised up, and he'll be able to just, you know, make it look like it's all And so what's going to happen is those who don't agree with that on the basis of the word, well, to the natural, they're going to look like they're people who don't want to cooperate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what happened with Jesus. He didn't want to cooperate with the religious system.
Right.
If he would have come down out of heaven on some great big stairway, and that stairway would have unfolded right down to Caiaphas, the high priest's front door, and Jesus would have walked right down there, put his arm around Caiaphas, and turned around to the people and said, "Here I am in the Messiah, and this is my faithful high priest." Mm-hmm. Well, everything would have been fine.
Yeah.
But see, Jesus didn't do that. Jesus didn't come the way they thought he had come.
Yeah.
He came humble and lowly and meek and in a manger and those sort of things. And so Jesus didn't tally up with the religious system, and it caused him to be crucified. And of course, we know that was the plan of God, that you and I might be saved. So there was a real reason, a real valid reason for him not to want to join up with them. They were reading the scriptures, and I didn't get it on the quote on the screen there, but it's 1 John. You can read it in 1 John. Scripture says that any spirit that confesses not that Christ is come in the flesh is Antichrist.
That's right.
At one place there, John said, you know, you've heard that it'll come, and even now it's already in the earth. It's already here. That Antichrist shall come. And he said, it's already here. But if you notice what that says, it didn't say that any spirit that confesses not that Christ did come. Did come.
Yeah.
It is present tense. Is come.
Now,
if he's the only form of eternal life, in order to get people saved, you've got to get him in them. If he's Christ, you've got to have a message that will get him in them, so that any message that comes along and confesses not that Christ is come.
Yeah.
In other words, any system that no matter how religious it is, it keeps people from getting to that place where they get a true experience with God.
Yeah.
That's Antichrist. Because it doesn't matter what flavor it is, what it looks like, if it doesn't get Christ Jesus in the soul of the person, in their experience, they'll never be there.
Right.
Because he's life. And in order for them to be there, they've got to have that. So any system that would come along, and so we find out that's exactly what happened. The religious system of his day, the Pharisees, Sadducees, and there was different ones. They were in an awful shape. Some of them didn't even believe in a resurrection. The Sadducees did.
Yeah.
I always thought it was funny how Brother Perryman pointed that out. He said, they were sad, you see, because there was no resurrection. I'd be sad if I thought there was no resurrection. Right?
Yeah.
But the Pharisees were Pharisees. See it me? This is how Brother Perryman would talk about it. They thought themselves so great.
Yeah.
But you see, there was all those religious leaders, but their doctrine, what they had perverted the word of God into, though it was great big systems and all kinds of fine members and upstanding people, that system was without Christ, because to continue on with their doctrines and their ways of doing things, you would never get Christ in you, and you'd never be there when it's over with, because it was Antichrist in what it was doing, you see. It wouldn't get Christ in them. So Jesus couldn't, and he has to stand against anything, because he said, my reason for coming was to save that which was lost.
Yeah.
Right? That's the whole work of God, the whole plan of God. That's the reason why he came. So you can't expect him to marry up or join up with something that's going to defeat that very purpose. So he cannot join up with those things. And he did not join up with those things at that time. And he never will. So God is against systems like that, and he has to unite against it. Now we're going to get into Revelation chapter 18:4. I want to bring it up to our day a little bit more. So let's go ahead and kind of get into Revelation 18, verses 1 through 4. Now you bear with me. I'm going to break this through down for you. And before we get started, I want to ask you, what is heaven? We think, well, heaven, naturally, it's up there in the heavens, right? Mm-hmm. But in the Word of God, we think of heaven. Well, heaven is the place where God dwells. This is this place we're going to go to when we leave here. It's a higher dimension. It's a glorious realm. There's no sin, no sorrow, no pain. You know, that's what we consider. And there's a lot of truth to that, but the truth of it is that heaven is the realm of the Word. Right? Because that being who dwells in that place, who sent forth his word to represent him, the word is a heaven. So we sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We get caught up into the word, into Christ. We're sitting in heavenly places. What we're looking and experiencing, what God's program is, not what man's program is. So heaven consists of the word. And so anytime something is in the word and comes forth, it comes from heavenly places. Everybody follow me? Right? So if God said in his word he had a specific ministry that would come, and then you could say coming walking out of the pages of the Bible was a manifested gift in the last time to do exactly what God said it was going to do in this hour.
Yeah.
Right? And a messenger is an angel.
Mm-hmm.
Now read it. And after these things, I saw an angel come down from heaven. Okay? Come right from the pages of the Word.
Yeah.
Because that's where it come from. It was something sent from God, a gift sent from God, and an angel's a messenger. So he saw, I saw an angel come down from heaven, an angel at this time when this is talking about, an angel is delivered to this earth, coming down from heaven, down to the realm of man, this angel messenger, a gift from God coming from the Word. Do you follow me?
Yeah.
Right? Having great power, a great ministry. And the earth was lighted with his glory. How many times did this prophet travel around the earth? Seven times. He went on worldwide campaigns. Okay? The earth was lighted with the glory of this ministry. They all know about it. Amen? Go to verse 2. This angel that come down, he cried with a mighty strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen. Now think about this. What is Babylon? We know by the revelation now what Babylon is. It's the religious systems of the world. We just talked about it. The great whore and her harlot daughters. An organized system, the first one, and then all the Protestants who come along and denominate afterwards and cause people to come and be part of their membership, but without an experience of God to give them what God, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay? And so even to the Pentecostals, a man-made organization system, and they can get you to speak with tongues and all these things, but without the real Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
They can get you to the gifts, and they can get you to the movement, but without a true experience of God.
Right.
Therefore, it's Antichrist by nature.
Right.
Because it'll never get them to the real Christ in them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It'll never do it. And so, that's the Babylon system. And until this prophet come on the scene, everybody thought, well, they're just as good a church as anybody else. It's a church world. They preach about Jesus. They do this and they do that. They're just as good as any. But it takes this mighty angel from heaven to come down and to declare the earth to be lighted with his glory. And that in that glorious message, a message to come forth to say, Babylon is fallen.
Yeah.
This system that everybody's looking at that they think is part of God's program, they fell from the word long ago. They're fallen. They fell from heavenly places. Why? Because they're habited with spirits that fell from heavenly places.
Right.
The devils that was once angels who left their first estate and fell, were cast out down to this where they are now. And so he's got to come and he's got to preach a message. It's not a popular message with the world, but it's the truth. He has to preach a message to tell you what. Babylon has fallen. They fell from the things of God down to what it is now. And I know there's parallels with the scriptures. Because there is a great fall of Babylon. There's a fall where in one day they're going to be destroyed. That's true too. But Babylon is fallen, is the message he preached. And he explains to us that those religious systems, they have become the habitation of devils. Because if you don't teach truth, false spirits travel in it. Because the Holy Ghost is the only thing that can truly travel in all truth.
Amen.
Right? But if you deviate one word from the truth, then evil spirits inhabit that doctrine. No matter what it's called. I know this is rough and tough, but this is the truth. And so they've become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Even though they might have been a vulture, and at one time they could have soared where the eagles did.
Yeah.
Right? Let's go to the next verse. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Now Babylon is talking about her. Right? And she has this fornication, and says all the kings of the earth had all nations have drunk of the wine of her wrath and her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have waxed rich through the abundances of her delicacies. You can leave it there just for a moment. So all nations, so isn't this what Brother Branham, his whole ministry was telling us? This modern religious system has fallen. Their system is a system of fornication. Of adultery, or if you want to call it that, fornication is the word to use there. Okay, it's in the scripture, and that's really what it is. Fornication, for the kings of the earth had committed fornication with her. So now, she's supposed to be the bride of Christ. But the scriptures has already told her, and by the way, this is Revelation 18. Remember in Revelation 17, he says, I'm going to show you. And he shows the church, the harlot church system, okay? And so this is talking about the fall of that system. And so Brother Branham comes along, that's what he tells us. It's all the nations. They got all mixed up in this doctrine of this Catholic system and all these denominational systems of man that are all, they're supposed to be the bride of Christ, but they're harlots because now what they're doing is they're receiving seed from somewhere beside Christ. And so these kings come along and they get hooked up with her, committing fornication with her. That means that even the kings and their ideas gets merged into the church. So the doctrine of the church, what they begin to produce, because they've had fornication with these kings. Government systems. See, now you see why Brother Ram said it's demonic, it's political, religious, and demonic. All three. That's the trinity of Satan, right? That's how he likes to work. Political power, religious power, and demonic power. We just saw that it was a demonic power, right? Now we're seeing how that it's a political system.
Yeah.
Because these kings commit fornication with her. And the whole system has become very rich off of this Catholic, Protestant, fallen system that he calls Babylon.
Right.
Okay? Let's go to the next one. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins and that ye receive not of her plagues. So just leave that there for a moment, please. Okay? So now here's this angel on earth, and he is he's preaching this message. He's got a ministry that the whole earth is lighted with his glory, and he's preaching to the whole earth, and he's saying, this Babylon system has fallen. It is nothing but demon spirits in it.
Yeah.
And the kings of the earth, it's all wrapped up in this big commerce. And the Catholic Church is the mother of the whole thing. And the Protestants are coming right in there with her, joining with her.
Yeah.
One great big system, and it's all fallen. And this ministry on the earth is so powerful. And this message is so true that God in heaven, because see, this other voice comes from heaven. That God in heaven, he gets so excited. Man, that's my servant. And he's saying it just like I'm telling him to. That even he cries out, come out of her, my people.
Yeah.
Right? He has so efficiently declared to this earth what that system is. That God says, now that you've got a good description of it, hear my voice. Come out of that system.
Yeah.
Come out of her, my people. That you be not partakers, right? That you receive not of her plagues. That's what he's saying here. See, this has happened in our day,
right?
Because we didn't know these things until our day.
Right.
This has come to the forefront. And so, again, we hear the voice of the Word. We hear it right out of the pages of the Scriptures. We hear it say, because it doesn't matter what a man comes along and says and does. If it doesn't dovetail with Scripture, it's not any good.
Right.
But we find out that this ministry that came does dovetail with Scriptures. And we heard a voice from the Word. Now that we're enlightened to the fact that Babylon is fallen and this system out here is not going to provide us true salvation, we can't get to Christ in it. Now we hear the voice of the Word under the influence of that. Now we see in the Scriptures, God is constantly, everywhere we look, He's calling for us to come out of that system.
Amen.
Constantly. Once you see it, it's there. It's everywhere you look. Just like serpent seed. Once you realize what that was in the garden, then you read your Bible, and it's all through the Scriptures. And you can't miss it after you see that.
Amen.
Because it's there. So now we know God has called us from that system. We see it in the Word. We hear the voice coming from heaven, the Word, saying, come out of her. Because her is a church system. Right? She's a female.
Right.
Well, it must be that some of God's people are in that system or have been in that system. And I'll say it like this just to get the point across. That every one of us have come from that system because we were born in it.
Right.
We were born with the influence of Baptist and Pentecostal and Presbyterian and all that. We were born under that influence. My wife was a Presbyterian Sunday school teacher. Mm-hmm. It's okay to say that? She was. I married her that way. By the grace of God, I didn't know what was going on, but God knew what He was doing. We all come from that system with that influence, and every one of us had to come out of that way of thinking.
Right.
We all have to come out of those things into the realities of God. And God has said, now that I've come down with a vindicated voice, a voice that had a supernatural ministry that none of them can deny. They all testify that it was supernatural, but they just don't like His doctrine.
Yeah.
Isn't that the truth? I've read the Encyclopedia of Charismatic Movements. I know. I got a friend that's got a copy about that thing, and I know what they say about this ministry. I know. But now that there's a vindicated voice that's come down and told the truth of the matter, now their sins are not covered. See, it's all out in the open, and the only thing now we can do is to come out of it if we expect to be saved.
Yeah.
You got to come out of it. Because once God puts His finger on it, that it's error, then we've got to come from that. See? And so He's come down and He's pointed that out. And God has even testified to it now out of His own Word. Because it was a ministry that came from His Word. That He said, come out of that. Because you must come from this. Because her actions are bringing the judgments of God. Her actions are bringing a place that plagues are going to come upon her. And my people, you've got to come out of that. Right? Got to come out of it. And so she'll come out because that's it. You know, we were come completely out of. Out of what? Their teachings, their systems, their ways. Out of everything about that that's antichrist.
Yeah, right.
Everything about that that keeps people from a true experience with God. We've got to come free from that. And come into Christ. So that we receive not of her plagues. So you see what God thinks about harlots? You read in the Bible what He thinks about harlots, what He's going to do to them. Or whores, whatever you want to call it. I hate to say that because it sounds terrible, but it's Bible. So you forgive me, but it's Bible. But you see His opinion. What His opinion are of that kind of lifestyle. And so He says, you know what? In the natural, this is the judgment of one who lives that way. And in the spiritual, what is His judgment upon a church that lives untrue to her husband?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Plagues, judgment to come upon that. And yet some of God's people were in that. And so He's calling them out. When did He do that? When is He calling them out? He's calling them out in the hour that this great ministry come down from heaven and the earth was lighted with His glory and God even spoke from His word. And said, come out of it. That's when He's doing it.
Right.
He didn't reveal these things way, way back.
Right.
But He is now.
Amen.
So now's the hour we must come clean from those things that affect us in unbelief.
Amen.
Come out of all that stuff into a true living word that gets us to Christ. Doesn't get us us to a shout, though it might shout. It doesn't get us to tongues, though we might speak in tongues. You understand?
Right.
But it gets us to a life that says amen to the word.
Amen.
A life that says that's right no matter what the rest of the world does.
Right.
That stays with it. To such a place that that person who receives it receives the same engrafted word, the same life in them that cannot die, which they have it in there to begin with. It's a seed, but it comes quickened. That they can't no more die than God can die. They can no more deny the word because they have nothing to deny the word with. Right? You can't take a predestinated son or daughter of God and make them ultimately deny the word. They're not going to do that. They may not understand it, but they're ordained to come to these truths. And so you see that her actions are bringing judgment. Now, the first thing that God did when he called Abraham, what did he do? He said, Abraham, separate yourself from your family. Come out from among those things.
Yeah.
He called Abraham out from his family, out of idolatry, away from them, and away from idolatry itself. Immediately, God, when he revealed himself to Abraham, he revealed himself as one true God and come away from all those others. Right? It's the very first thing he did. Ever since then, Satan has tried every way in the world to get the church of God to go back and marry back up with the very thing he called us out of in the first place.
Right.
Exactly what it is.
Yeah.
See? That was the thing that made Abraham different. But God blessed him and nobody could conquer him because he stayed true to that. But that separated him from the rest of the world because he believed in one God. Even watch even some of the videos of Joseph and the different ones and Jacob. And in that Jacob movie, you know, they're asking him, said, well, you're really blessed. We'd like to see these gods that have blessed you so much. And he's like, we only have one God.
Yeah.
One God? You know, I got to see this one God who does so well for you, because they had the idea that you had a God for this and a God for that and a God for something else.
Yeah.
But all it takes is the one true God.
Yeah.
And that's what made them different. And that's what makes the Jewish people different. And guess what? That's what's going to make you and I different too.
Man.
Because we know that there's one God. The devils believe also and tremble, says the scriptures.
Yeah, right.
But the rest of the system out there under a many gods and joining together, confederating, they're not going to confederate under the truth that there is one God. They're not going to do that. That's not what their selling point is going to be, that they're all going to rally to. That's not it. They're not going to rally around the fact that God had sent a prophet in this day. That's not it. They're not going to do that. They're going to rally around something, but it won't be based on the word. And that's what will be the difference. So we have to be tied to the word completely so that when that pressure comes from that system, we won't give into it. And that's why I'm sharing that with you this morning.
Yeah.
Well, let's must not give into a system that even paints us out to be devils in the eyes of the world because we won't go with a move of peace.
Yeah.
You know, my Bible tells me with everything that's in me to live peaceably with all men. And that's what I want to do.
Yeah.
That's what I strive to do. But that does not take preeminence over the word.
Man.
And the word is that you cannot marry up with a system. You can't compromise with a system that will never get people to Christ Jesus. So we'll live peaceably with all men as much as possible. But we're not going to marry up to that system. We came out of it. We're not going back to it. That's what Satan wants to do. When people come to this message, ride along for a while, it might be 15, 20 years, and they leave, what do they do when they leave? They go right back to what they come from.
That's right.
Because that's the pattern of scriptures. A hog to its wallow and a dog to its vomit. That's it.
Yeah.
Without Christ, that's all they can do is go right back because he's the thing that gets them free from that in the first place.
Yeah.
Now, especially some of the young people, I don't know if anybody listening on the internet, you might challenge me on that. But I'll tell you, just look at their lives and see what they're doing. And they leave and go out of the way from the truth, defect from the truth, or deny the faith. What do they do? They go manifest some of the most ungodly things.
Yeah.
Because that's exactly what happens.
Right.
You can't turn your back on God and it go well with you.
Right.
It's terrible. And you know what? We sit by, our heart just crumbles Because we see that tragic mistake that they're making, and we see the consequences of it. Know that it's an evil spirit, a devil, or devils that's influenced them to do that. And even influenced them to where they can't see it. They cannot see that their life is turning out the way it is because they unplugged from the Word. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so God called Abraham out, and ever since then, that's what Satan's tactic is to bring us back to that. And if we don't, if we go back to that system of denominational and all these things that are contrary to the Word, this one word right here at the last is what's coming.
Yep.
Plagues. See? 100 years ago, or, yeah, I'll say 100 years ago, 150 years ago, we couldn't declare that so clearly because the vindicated voice showing us the mess hadn't come.
Yep.
And yet, it's in the Bible. But God had an appointed time for a ministry to open our eyes to see it in the Bible. That Babylon has fallen. And that these systems don't get... They don't get them to Christ because look, they look and act just like the world.
Right, yeah.
You can't tell the difference in them. But God called the people out separate. They believe in 3 gods, 4 gods, 10 gods. They have all kinds of people they worship have lived, hold in high places rather than Christ being what they hold in high place.
Yeah.
It's just terrible.
Yeah.
Such a deception. And so he wants us to go back into that. You can take that off now, sister. He's tried every way in the world to get us to go in, back into that system and stay back. First of all, he's tried to trick people into it. Remember the first horse rider, the white horse? Trying to trick the people into believing his false system? Then he got off that horse, the white horse, and got on a red horse. And then he's going to force them to do it. And he brought on the Dark Ages. Forcing people by killing them. You'll either come to our system or you'll die. And they killed them by the millions. You know what? It seems strange to me, but the Catholics have what they call, Catholic Church has what they call martyrology. They got a record of their martyrs, people that they martyred. Not their people, but they martyred people who would not join the Catholic system. And it's martyrology. And their martyrology has 68 million recorded. How many didn't get recorded?
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to join any system who had a history of killing 68 million people. I mean, and they never have repented of that.
Right.
You know why I can say that? You say, how do you know that, Brother Tony? Because the Bible said so.
Yeah.
The Bible said so. Jesus said, I gave her space to repent. She didn't. Right? I'm sorry if people don't agree with that, but it's back to the Word, and the Word said so.
Right.
He gave her space to repent, and she repented not. Therefore, I will kill her what? Children with death. And what is her children? Denominations.
Right.
Any system, any religious system who's underneath the organization and rulership of man, that people can join to or be part of without a true experience from God.
Yeah.
Right? And all those systems that are orchestrated by man are like that. See? The type of it in the Old Testament is this. God came, was with Israel, and he was their king, and they come along and said to Samuel, we want a king. We want a king to go out to battle. He said, why? God is your king. God's with you.
That's right.
See? But they wanted something else. They had the best thing they could ever want. Right? But they wanted to get away from that. And it brought a terrible situation for them. So he's tried to trick us into it. He's tried to force us into it. And even tried this, you know. People who, and remember, come out of her so, by people. So she's in there. And not only we all had to do this, you know, because when you're in a system and you think you're rocking along okay, and then something begins to tell you, you need to come out of this. The voice of God says, come out of this. So you're thinking, man, I need to come out of this system. God's telling me to come out. Then that other voice of the devil comes along.
Right.
Through his teaching and through his doctrine. And he sticks them balances out there in front of you, weighing.
Right.
3 measures of wheat for a penny. and a measure of barley, or I forget how it says it, for a penny. The third horse rider, right? The black horse throws that out there. And that system to make you pay for the bread of life,
yeah.
Right? Because that's what the barley and wheat and barley is. Balance is to pay. That's what the system, the Catholic system got rich by making people pay for purgatory, praying people out of purgatory and for all these different things. And so they get rich like that. But for us to threaten you and say, you'll be lost if you leave this system. You'll starve to death if you feed this system. God will never speak to you again, the bread of life. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's what I'm getting at. And so he's tried it that way. And ultimately, what he wants to do is bring us to that pale horse rider, which brings death upon us, which is the hour that we're in now.
Right?
We're in that hour now. If you look at those four horse riders, and God had an anointing on his church to combat each one of them horses.
Yep.
And that last horse that brings death, that actually brings death upon, his name is Death and Hell Followed, is what it says. His name is called Death. You know, he wasn't given that name when the rider was on the first horse, and when he got off and went on the second horse, he didn't give a name then, or when he got on the third. But when he got on the fourth horse, he was actually given the name. It was revealed what he was.
Yep.
Why was it revealed at that time what he was? Because there was a prophet on the earth. Because the animal that met the challenge of that was the eagle, which is a prophet. So because we're in that hour now, that prophetic ministry says, listen, this Babylon that's fallen, this religious system is the mark of the beast. This is what it is. It's bringing a forced unity, and you'll either sign up with that or you won't have to be able to buy or sell. Right? Remember what I've told you before. I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire, and white raiment, but you won't buy anything you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's the way that works. You got to join up with them. They want to make you think if you don't join them, you can't buy or sell. And that's what it'll be, see, physically. But you understand what I'm saying? It happens spiritually too. And so they want to, in this hour, this prophet has revealed to us that this is death and hell follows it.
Yeah.
And he's a pale, sickly, greenish colored thing. And it's bringing all this stuff together. And this is the end result. And this is what it is now, because this is the hour we live in. And it has to be revealed. And so then this angel comes from heaven and reveals those things. But God's people are a separated people, a called out people, a sanctified people. Sanctified for the Master, for Him.
Right.
Him alone. Not anything else. The scriptures tell us that there's few there be that find it.
Yep, right.
Broad is the way. Right? Many go there that goes to destruction. But straight is the gate, narrow's the way, leads to life, and few there be that find it. So I want to bring these two pathways and show you a great big system, a belief system, or many belief systems. You can be lost many ways, but there's only one way you can be saved. So this broad way that many travel, they're at, it's a popular way. Everybody wants to go there, and there's few that see this other way. Travel that way. So it's a big, large, huge ecumenical group against just a few. Right? Just a few. And they're going to paint this unity, this system of unity, and finally get the Catholics and Protestants all together under a unity, but not under the Word. And a showdown between them and this little bitty group who wants to stay with the Word, who's the most peaceful people on the earth. But they just can't deny that Word. Same thing that happened with Jesus. Great big group. So this big group, by imitation, I'm going to say by imitation because they don't have the Holy Ghost to bring true unity. So it's a false unity by some imitation, some system that's whatever, to try and bring a unity on the earth. And it's a false unity to bring, and also brings a persecution against the true. We know these things. We've looked at it for many years. So they'll have a message. They have a message. We're all one.
Right.
We're all the same. Same message that Balaam taught Israel. Right? And so they have a message. We're all the same. And, you know, to the outward, it might look that way.
Yeah.
But to the believer, you see that and know that that's because that's, it can't be, because we stand for Christ, and that is an anti-Christ system. Yeah. So there will be no marrying up with them, with the believer. But their message is that we're all the same. Their message is to say that even though we're Buddhists and we're Sikhs and we're Jains and we're Catholics and we're Protestants and we're Islam, even though we're all this, we're all the same. You know, the Catholic Church released a video, and it was showing different people from different nationalities, Islamic, and they said, "I believe in God." And here's, you know, another religion, "I believe in God." Another religion, "I believe in God." Another religion, "I believe in God." Catholic, "I believe in God." And then the Pope's talking. And he's saying, "We'll all unite under love." Because they go back to the same people, and all these people say, "I believe in love." They said, "I believe in God," but now they say, "I believe in love. I believe in love. I believe in love." So you see what I'm saying? They want to bring it all together, and they're all going to say, "We're all under love."
Right.
But deny the word. And we're going to have to stand alone. We're going to stand alone, standing there against a huge system that says they stand for love, and we're against it. We stand for what's right, and this is a heretic. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? It's exactly what they did to Jesus. He's not part of our system. See, but they'll never have the kind of unity that only God can give. God's the only one that can give true unity like that. And so it's a false unity. But that system will never get people to Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to drop a bombshell on them. Let's go to St. John chapter 14, verse 6. We've read this two or three times, but I'm hitting it from a different approach to go with what I have to say this morning. Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come unto the Father but by me." And what is he? He's the Word. He's a bleeding word, right? Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. He bled on Calvary 2,000 years ago. And here now, the word has appeared in this hour, and it's being crucified, a bleeding word. And if there's bleeding, there's an atonement under those who are beneath that blood, right? But he says right here, no man can come to the Father but by me. So how are you going to get to the Father under Islam? Because Islam don't have Christ. How are you going to get to the Father as a Buddhist, as any of these others? See, that sounds harsh, and that's the thing, see? But you can't get to God without Jesus Christ. And Christ Jesus is the Word, and man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceed out of the mouth of God. So the only way people can get to that eternal life is through Jesus Christ, right? And that's why we have to take that stand, because it doesn't matter what kind of picture they paint of how much unity and how glorious and all that is, it don't have Christ in it.
Yeah.
So therefore, it's Antichrist. And we can't join up with it. So no man can come to the Father but by him. Do you know, he said in one place, said there, no man knows the Father except the Son, and to whom the Son will reveal him to. The Son will reveal the Father to you.
Yeah.
And the only people that's ever going to know the Father at all is those to whom the Son has revealed him to. So the Word that came from God, sure he knows God, because he's the essence of the person of God coming forth, this very desire. He comes forth, he knows God, and he says nobody knows God but the Word, but the Son, and to those to whom the Word is going to reveal him. So if anybody ever, through any religious system, think they can ever get to God, they'll have to get it through the revealing of Christ Jesus, the Word. It won't come any other way.
Amen.
That's why we can't give in to those systems. Because without the revealed Word of God, the church built on revelation, without that, they'll never be there. Right? Even the people who come up in the second resurrection and are a granted life, because of what they did, they'll get a revelation of Christ at that time. That's the way it works. They'll get a revelation then that you and I have now. See? And that's the way that works. So, they're not going to get to him unless they come through the Word. And any system that's anti-Word is anti-Christ, no matter what it looks like. We already know that he's able to look right, look good, because he got on a white horse. So we know he's able to ride that white horse in this hour, make it look like it's the right thing, and be very persuasive. We know he can do that, but we also are relying in that same system as the power to ride a red horse and a black horse, and it is the pale horse. You hear a prophet telling us that's them three, they're all mixed together, all those colors mixed up in this pale horse? He knew what he was talking about. Because this system, still, they've got experience at it. They know how to make it look so tantalizing, and it's right, but it won't look right to the believer who's connected to the Word. So then, if you won't come in by persuasion, the next thing they have to do is crucify the Word. Yeah. They couldn't convince Jesus to come to their system, so we got to kill it. Mm-hmm. They can't convince us to come to that system, they'll have to crucify the Word. Right? That's the very next thing to happen. So I say that to you today. Be fortified.
Amen.
Fortified in these truths. These are for your eyes only. As God has given to his bride. Fortify yourself in that. Put all your trust in him. I don't care what picture they paint. Stay with the Word of God to know that it is Christ and Christ alone. No imitation, anything, but it's that true connection of that gene of life. You imagine what it's like if you take a woman she wants to have a baby, and this may sound funny, but you forgive me, but she wants to have a baby. She wants to have a baby so bad, and so she sets a place in her mind, okay, from this day forward, I'm going to have a baby, and she counts off, and 9 months later, she goes and checks herself into the hospital, and they say, what are you here for? She says, I'm here to have a baby. Yeah. They look at her and go, well, you don't have no baby because you don't look fat. Oh, so she goes back and tries another approach, another religious system. I'm going to have a baby. And so she's like, okay, here it is. And she starts eating a lot. She eats a lot and eats a lot and gets really fat. And 9 months later, she goes to the hospital to check in. I'm here to have a baby. And they look at her, okay, well, maybe, you know, and they go to check on her and say, you're not going to have a baby. You're just fat. Well, I thought I was going to have a baby. And they say, have you been with a man? Well, no. I've never been with a man. Well, that's required. Yeah. If you want to have a baby, that's required. Right. You can't pretend it. You can't, you know, drive a stake in the ground and act like it.
Right.
It ain't going to happen. You can't eat a whole lot. You see what I'm saying? You've got to be with, as Brother Bam said, you've got to be with the male bird. Right? If you really want to produce this thing.
Yeah.
And so, I'm so glad that underneath the message of the hour, we gather each service time. And the female eagle spends time with the male eagle. I am so glad. The rest of the world can pretend what they want.
Yeah.
But there's a people who really are setting, and their womb of their heart is being filled with the Word of God.
Amen.
And that'll make the difference in the lives of people. And so we are thankful for that. I cannot emphasize enough that He is the Word. And if you'll notice the scriptures, why does the scripture do that? Why is the Bible so clear to emphasize? Why didn't he just say, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, you know, and it was God, and, you know, and then God came in flesh? Why didn't it say it that way? It said the Word became flesh. Right? Because he wants you to know he is the Word. And that's how you live, by Him, not by something else. And so we want to see these things and capitalize on them. And so there is a great message that has come this day that said, come out of her, my people. This earth was lighted with his glory, right? And he didn't stand here and say, listen to me, you come to me, think about me. That's not what that angel said. That angel said what he was told to say. Babylon, this system that you're putting your trust in has fallen from the word, and it will fall physically. Come out of there. Now you say, Brother Tony, I thought that just meant, you know, Babylon's already been judged. Well, listen. If the only meaning of that was that Babylon had just been burnt with fire, how could he be calling his people out of it?
Yeah.
Right? Babylon has fallen from the word of God, fell away from the truth, and God's people were in there.
Yeah.
And there was a message came and said, come out of there.
Right.
How many has heard that message?
Yeah.
Amen. Thank God for all the hands. Amen. Let's all stand. When Brother Tim comes, we want to pray. I'll let you go. You love the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Let's just bow our hearts to him. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, as Brother Daniel was mentioning at the beginning of service, how wonderful it is to come and to be in your presence, to be with your saints, and just to be able to worship you, Lord. And God, to see you come and just deliver yourself to us in this hour, the very essence of what you are, what you're here on this earth to do, to produce a bride, produce a people that's separated from this world and not caught up in the religious systems of the world. Lord, how we're so thankful of that, that you have called us from those things. And God, we want to confess today, and I pray that if there's anyone here that hasn't totally made this move, I pray that they be able to today. And Lord, that is that if there's anything in us that's still part of that system, Lord, we want to come completely out of it.
Yes.
There's no part of it in us. Lord, because when your judgments begin to fall upon that, we realize that you do not have a judgment coming to your bride. You don't want to purify because she's already been purified by the choice of the word, Lord, because you have chosen her and she's part of you. I ask, God, that you would help us. Give us the strength, Lord, to be able to say no to these things. And as these influences try to come along, that they have no effect upon us. But even beyond that, Lord, that we would be able to put in words to those who might ask us, those that may be part of that system and we're witnessing to them. God, that you would give us the wisdom and the anointing to be able to share these things in a way, Lord, that it overcomes that influence that is upon them, that they could see it clearly. Lord, we just pray that you'd bless your little bride as she goes forth. As you've said in your scripture, she is to prophesy again. Lord, she is to go forth with the testimony of Jesus Christ, with your testimony.
Yes.
Underneath her messenger, saying what he said, taking what's on tape and expounding it in the same continuity of what is laid there. And Lord, these things that have been sown will come to fruit now. And we just ask, God, you'd help us now. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And he's happy.
Amen.
Can't you see why I'm so happy? I don't think of song very much up here when I get through preaching, but that one comes to mind. Let's sing that.
Can't you see why?
want to encourage you in the Lord. And, you know, we gotta, you know, I'm going to say this this way, we got to get this right.
Yeah.
Right. There's one opportunity to meet rapture morning.
That's
and
right.
That's not what all's on our mind, because it's on the desire of the heart of God's people to take people with you and take as many as you can. But
yeah.
This has got to be right. One shot at that. One shot at rapture morning. And that is to have the truth of the Word of God living in our hearts. And so I want to encourage you that these things that you hear ministered across this pulpit, whether it's me and Brother Daniel or visiting minister, whatever, if you don't understand these things, pick up the phone, text, or call and arrange for an appointment with your ministry. And we will sit with you however many hours it takes to show you in the scriptures and pray with you whatever it takes, because we want you to have this revelation to be forefront. That it's actually who becomes who you are, not just some mental conception, because somebody can try to have a mental conception, but we want you to get to that place where it becomes alive, a living revelation within you.
Amen.
So that you'll see, it's like I've said many times, a picture, and they'll say, there's a horse in here, and you look, and you know, and finally you see it. And then every time you pick it up, you see the horse. There it is. Can't you see that? Brother Tim, don't you see that horse in there?
Yeah.
How many have done that? That's the way the revelation of the Word is. Once God quickens it to you, and you'll find yourself to your co-worker, see, that's right there. And he's like, that's not what that says. And it is what it says. Can't you see that?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why Brother Branham said, the Word of God is a love letter. He said, because when I go overseas, and he said, my wife will write me a letter, and she'll say, you know, honey, I took the kids, and we did this today, and we did that today. And he said, but I can read between the lines, because I know her. And she says thus and thus, but because I know her, I see what she's really saying between her, and I see what's going on behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Because he knows her, right? This word is a love letter from God. And to a person, because he won't cast his pearl before swine, right? He'll let them read it physically, but until they know him, they don't really know what it's saying.
Yeah.
Right? Once they know him, then when they read it, they read the written letter there, but they also get not just the Logos, the Rhema, and they get the Logos, they get both, right? They get the word and the meaning of the word, but they get the thought behind it.
Yes.
That's the difference. And so you need just pick up the phone, call, text, come and approach me, Brother Daniel. We'll be happy to spend time with you, because we want you to have this in your tool belt, because you will be challenged by the devil with it. That's what we're here for. Amen?
Amen.
God bless you. We get ready to sing another song. We'll just say you're dismissed tonight.